This show was first broadcast on Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. For more information on our lineup of shows and the role we play in the media, visit freefm.org.nz.
Greetings, I am Barry. If you're searching for answers, spiritual help, clairvoyant readings, healings, crystals, books, incense, or jewellery, you need to go to Infinity, Hamilton Spiritual Centre, in the new premises at 550 Anglesey Street, or you can phone us on 838 1838. This is your link between this life and the next. Become the change the world needs today. Greetings, I am Barry. This is The Voice Within for another week. Now, Pam Gregory is going to be telling us about the last half of November. But first, here's a message from the Palladian Council. We, the Palladian Council, come to share helpful information with you from our perspective in regards to global and personal chaos. As messy as your outer and or inner worlds may seem during this powerful time of transformation, we encourage you, holders of light, to continue to burn bright. War, poverty and chaos is known to be a simple yet complicated tactic dark forces use to distract you from what is most in alignment within this new paradigm many of you are co-creating. Do not be afraid of change. Destiny is within each and every one of you. You are the stars that don't fade, and this is your reason for showing up for this planet. There's been another attempt to dismantle the expansion of human consciousness by poisoning the minds and hearts of your collective. Mental and emotional disease is energetic arsenal that used onto your collective by malevolent beings that do not wish for your species to evolve. Dear ones, Earth's collective growth has been stunted during each previous attempts to restore. So, it is you that came with the light to guide, and it's far stronger than hate, greed and disorder could ever be. Wipe the stardust from your eyes and shine on. Your light is needed more than ever before. For the keepers of the flame, wrap your union tight with the power of undivided love. The divine twin flames are being targeted by the dark agendas at this time, unfortunately in various and creative ways. As you proceed to finalise Earth's fifth dimensional diamond grid template of divine strength, divine clarity, and most importantly, divine union and divine love begins to starve the negative forces. The negative adrenaline manifests as chaos, and everyone involved is under the influence of two powerful opposing forces of intelligence. Twin flame union is the balance and order of creation, therefore you must protect your union by protecting your mind and heart, as both are undergoing detrimental manipulations as the negative energies continue to fall out of your dimensional realm. Everything you need is within you now and forever, oh dear ones. We, your galactic ancestors, are here and ready to assist you. However, we cannot intervene, as the laws of free will prevent such intervention. We are one thought and one intention away, and always in service to humanity. We, the Palladian Council, are grateful for this opportunity to connect with you during such delicate time-space. We send you our undivided frequency of love and always in the light. And that was channeled by someone called Parallel Brittany. That was Sylvia Nakash and a track called Compassion. So now Pam Gregory is all ready to tell us all about the new moon and stuff happening in Gemini later this month.
Hi everyone, Pam Gregory, astrologer. I'm going to be speaking here about the second half of November and the full moon that we have coming up in Gemini on the 27th. And I think if anything, this second half of the month is going to be even more intense than the first. We're in this accelerated period of evolutionary change, and we are seeing the breakdown of the old order and the things that simply no longer work for humanity anymore. It's making us see what we absolutely do not want to keep repeating. I think that's for sure. Just something to note before I get into the detail of November. In November, starting with the new moon in Scorpio that we had on the 13th, and by the way, I want to say I'm filming this on the 9th of November, filming it quite early. So if there are any major world events, which there may well be after the 9th, I'm not going to be covering those in this video because it's going to be very, very eventful. So the new moon in Scorpio that was on the 13th of the month, that began a 5 new moon series of new moons at 20 to 21 degrees of their sign. So, and this is covering signs from Scorpio through to Pisces. So Scorpio, Sagittarius, Capricorn, Aquarius, and Pisces are going to have their new moons at between 20 and 21 degrees of those signs. So if you have any planets virtually in any sign between 19 and 22 degrees of any sign, you are going to be receiving aspects from these new moons. And obviously they're too detailed for me to go into, but this could be quite an extended period of new beginning for you, which could be very exciting. Equally, this month we are starting a run of 5 full moons at 5 degrees of their signs. So those are running from Gemini, which we have this month in November, all the way through to Libra. So Gemini, Cancer, Leo, Virgo, Libra. So again, if you have any planets between round about 4 to 6 degrees of any sign, they are going to be aspected by the full moons. And you might have a greater sense of ending or completion or culmination before, of course, a new beginning then starts up. But it's just an interesting thing to be aware of because we've got such a repeating cycle around those lunations right now. But as I say, great intensity, volatility, fast moving events in this second half of the month. Very powerful new moon in Scorpio, which I covered in the last video. And just literally a day or so before that, that new moon on the 11th and 12th of November, we had the Sun and Mars exactly opposing Uranus. So coming from Scorpio to Uranus in Taurus. And that is a very powerful conjunction. Mars is strengthened by the fact that it's in its own ancient sign of rulership of Scorpio. It gives it tremendous focus. It's moving quickly, and it's also being energized by moving with the Sun pretty much through the whole of November. And so this is an aspect that's very linked to hot, eruptive, explosive, sudden shocking events. It's very much the signature of earthquakes of all kinds, attacks, cyber attacks, that kind of thing. So be very aware around about this very powerful new moon. And also, I'm going to be doing the second half of the month from that point. So Mars is very, very strong. Mars is going to remain strong until the 24th of the month, particularly because that's the period it's moving through through the sign of Scorpio, where it's naturally comfortable and strong. And it will be digging up secrets as it goes. More secrets exposed at the full moon. In the bright light of the full moon, we're going to see even more. But they are spilling out now pretty widely, because that's an inevitable part of the ending of the old order. So, as I'm sure you're aware. So if we start from the middle of the month, say on the 16th, we've got the Sun and Mars in a quincunx to Eris. Same day on the 16th that we have Mercury sesquiquadrate, 135 degree aspect to Eris. So this gives us a kind of pinball reactivity, high reactivity, sparky, feisty words. Take a breath before you react. Take a breath, because this is going to be heightened energy, excitability, volatility. Just take a breath. Be mindful of your words and your actions. Mercury, your words, and Mars, very much your actions. With Eris being very provocative around issues of freedom, truth, sovereignty, justice, fairness, social inclusion. And of course, we have to stand very strong in our sovereignty at this time. In fact, we're given great help with this by the North Node being in Aries conjunct Eris all of this year. And whatever planet is conjunct the North Node, it takes on the colour of that planet. So it's very much taking on the colour of Eris. So what that means is that the North Node, our collective future path of soul's growth, is very much linked to Eris, sovereignty, truth, justice. And the North Node will stay in Aries until January 2025 anyway. So we are probably standing more strongly in our truth, in our independence, in our sovereignty, in our sense of individual power during this time than we ever have before. And that's going to increase, actually, if anything, through next year. So, and remember that Eris is the female sister of Mars, the warrior energy, and very much relentless and uncompromising until she gets to her goal of truth in a fairer society, which I think is something we would all want. Now, I've been speaking all year of the big T-square between Pluto and the nodal axis. That's really going to start to ease off a little in December, and it will dissolve as we go into next year. So this has been the very big year of choice, and I think we've all made our choice as to whether we are living in fear or love, as a victim or a co-creator. And that's the kind of the different ends of the nodal axis. But they will very much, whether you're living in fear or love, victim or being the co-creator, they will very much determine your timeline going forwards, because nobody forces you onto any timeline. It's entirely an internal process of you self-select those depending on your frequency. But this is so important for you as individuals, well, for the collective as well, but for you as individuals, which timeline are you going to be on? Because this is your time to choose. Gemini, we're going to a full moon of Gemini, big sign of choices. But it's going to start to ease off, as I say, December and all through next year. So take your chance now. It could not be more important which end of that axis you focus on. 17th and 18th of November, I mean, this energy just keeps on coming. We have the Sun exactly square Mars in Scorpio, exactly. And this is tremendous for focus, for tenacity, determination. If you have to focus on a project and really drill down with great concentration, terrific for that. But it's quite primal energy. I think of Mars as root chakra energy. It's primal, it's deep, and again, high reactivity. So the urges here are very strong. The Mars energy, the Scorpio energy, the Uranian energy, which remember is also the energy of awakening. But these urges are very strong. So please be mindful. Please take a breath before speaking, before acting. Just take a breath, because this will propel you into this, as I say, very high reactivity to situations, and really try and beam peace out to the love in every, out to the world in every moment. I mean, heaven knows we need to see a world where there's more love and peace. But remember, we are each a part of that. Every single one of us in our consciousness contributes to what unfolds in the collective. And I've dared to say this before, but it's been our fear and our polarity collectively that produces some terrible events in the collective. I know that's probably a very unpopular thing to say, but unless we really get a grip on our frequency, we are going to keep going around the hamster wheel. And, you know, we've got some huge things to help us, very different ingredients in terms of our evolution at this time, as I've spoken about many times, the new light codes coming in, the solar flares are bringing in very new information for us, but we still have to choose as individuals. I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm not going to live in that state of polarity and anger and hate, because that serves nobody, not you, not anybody. So this is the mastery that we have to learn to change the world. And I I feel this in my bones. Starve out the scary, love in the good. Starve out the hateful, love in the good. Starve out the polarized, love in the good. This is what we have to do. So 19th, just after that, and that sun Mars conjunction, of course, is still operational, but we then have Mercury on the 19th exactly conjunct the Great Attractor. And this is this mysterious gravitational anomaly out in space that's sort of moving backwards at 600 kilometers a second. Philip Sedgwick is the real researcher, genius, astrologer on this. If you look at his website, sedgwick.com. But the Great Attractor is the kind of, it can bend space and time. It's immensely powerful in terms of energy. And this is really where so much of our source energy comes from. So when we have particularly a planet like Mercury conjunct this degree point, we are able to tap into much higher information. Much higher information, much, much, much bigger spiritual perspective on what is happening. And that's going to help us immensely. The next day, the 20th, the moon comes to conjunct Mars and Ceres, the asteroid Ceres linked to harvest. She's the goddess of grains and harvest. So again, this may be suggesting there's some anger by the people around food issues. There could be food shortages in some places. So just plan accordingly and be sensible about that. But it may be particularly in these terrible, terrible areas of conflict where so many innocent people and children and, you know, animals, everything get caught up into some absolutely horrific conflicts. And we all have a part to play in being able to turn that around. Please don't feel helpless in this. I want to say that our consciousness is one of our strongest weapons. Our consciousness is one of our strongest weapons. I'm going to come back to that later. On the 22nd, of the month, the sun moves into Sagittarius, but instantly comes up against a square to Saturn. And I'm going to be talking more about this in a moment with the full moon. Also note, on the 24th of the month, Mars enters Sagittarius, but also equally slams up against that square to Saturn. Again, I'll talk about that later in the video, but really Mars is keeping pace with the sun pretty much this whole month of November.
I will surrender to my greatest high. is good. I will release any fear that blocks my way. For every step I take is taken in pure faith, and I am stronger every moment, every day. My mind is willing and my heart is open wide. I trust my instincts and let spirit be my guide. I vow to live a life that's real and pure and free. As I continue walking in this mystery, I will surrender to my greatest, highest good. I will release any fear that blocks my way. For every step I take is taken in pure faith, and I am grateful every moment, every day. There may be walls, there may be roadblocks in my way, but I can choose to take a higher path each day. And now I know that what I thought was safe and sound was only habit and regret that held me down. I will surrender to my greatest, highest good. I will release any fear that blocks my way. For every step I take is taken in pure faith, and I am kinder every moment, every day. And I'm more loving every moment, every day. I will surrender every moment, every day.
That's Karen Drucker and her morning prayer. Now we're back to Pam and Gemini.
So let us now look at the full moon in Gemini. I always set this for England because this is where I live. So ignore the clock face, ignore the houses, and please adjust for your own time zones. We're simply going to be looking at where the planets fall and their aspect to each other. So this is a full moon where we always have the sun and moon opposite each other. And this is at 4 degrees, 51 minutes of Gemini. Now, this happens on the 27th of November. It happens at 1:16 a.m. Pacific and 9:16 a.m. UK time. Now, note that we have six planets in mutable signs here. Six planets in mutable signs. So, we have a very high preponderance of, if we take Neptune and Saturn here, mutability, Pisces, the moon, that's a third one, Gemini mutability, then 4, 5, 6, Mercury, Sun and Mars in Sagittarius, mutable. Now, mutable means chameleon-like, so it's excellent for adaptability and flexibility. You know, you can see things from oblique points of view, other people's point of view. So it's very good in that sense, but it can at times give a sense of we are all over the place. There's so much happening at speed. We are all over the place. It's harder than when we have planets, personal planets in Scorpio, to get a grip on our focus. But try and stay centered. Come back to your breath, shutting your eyes, dropping into your breath, bare feet on the grass, weather permitting. Turn inwards. Find a simple anchor that you can come back to when so much is happening and a lot of strong primal urges and volatility out in the world. Of course, what a lot of mutability also means is, as the old order is breaking down, the modelling clay of astrology is much more malleable even than it normally is. Much more malleable. It's kind of freed up for us to reform in a much better way. So again, if you have any planets or angles between sort of, I'd say almost zero and 6 degrees of the mutable signs here, you will be feeling this full moon. It is certainly shining a bright light on things connected with Gemini, which is the facts, the information, the media, the communication, shining a bright light on that, perhaps revealing things that we weren't aware of before. Now, the Sagittarian energy, we have Mercury, Sun, Mars, also Ceres, by the way, in Sagittarius. Sagittarius is very linked to freedom, independence, it's travel, particularly connected to flight. It's optimistic. There's a restless, yeah, let's go do it. It's very spontaneous. It's connected to the law, one of the two signs connected to the law and to the truth. And by the way, Gemini is a very nonconformist sign as well. So, but Sagittarius can lend itself to very strong opinions. You know, I'm right, you're wrong. And also dogmatism in that sense. You know, I'm absolutely right. I absolutely know I am. Or religious dogmatism, fanaticism, religious fanaticism can be that kind of quality with Sagittarius. So it can lend itself to polarity yet again. Again, try and step above that. I mean, there are some very helpful aspects in this chart I'm going to refer to where that going to help us step into a higher level of consciousness. And when we step into that higher level of consciousness on our eagle's perch and have perspective, then there is less ego to insist that we are right. It is the ego that makes us insist that we are right and therefore you are wrong, whoever you are. Different religion, different politics, different gender, different skin color. It's that ego that says, I am right and you are wrong. And we must rise above that in our consciousness to progress. So those are the things that are going to be highlighted in that Gemini, Sagittarius opposition, but very much shining a light, as I say, on the facts, the media, etc. So now one of the dominant configurations here is that Saturn at 0:56 of Pisces is squaring this full moon. The moon, the sun, Mars, and very, very closely within 3 minutes of exactitude of Ceres. Saturn, as we know, is the planet of limitation or constraint or rules and regulations or the way we've always done things or you can't do it this way anymore or whatever. So this may bring in some attempted further limitation and constraint on communication, media, social media. Certainly there have been some recent legal developments in certain countries that are trying to do that. This may bring in limitations on freedom or, well, just freedom, freedom of travel, freedom of movement, particularly freedom linked to flight, freedom again of opinion, free speech. So that's going to be interesting to see. And I've mentioned in the past, there's going to be a lot to do about with water. And I've talked about that in other videos. So I won't repeat everything I've said there, but be aware that Saturn is going to be staying in Pisces. It doesn't really exit Pisces until February 2026. Saturn is linked to limitation, control, issues around water. Water, the seas, Pisces. So be aware that there may be issues around water going forwards as well. And again, prepare accordingly. You know, I was talking to some friends at the weekend. There's some incredibly simple things you can do. Like you can get a camping bottle you can put in a backpack. This is for campers who go off to the wild, that have a filter in them built into the bottle, and they can filter several thousand gallons of river water or stream water, and it makes it drinkable. And they're very cheap to buy online. And I think that would be a really good investment for people, because if there's, you know, even locally, we've had a lot of areas in the south of England recently that for whatever reason have lost water for several days. Would be really, really handy for people to have that little bottle, and they could, you know, get some rainwater from their garden or go down to a local stream, and it wouldn't be so much of a crisis. So simple ways that we can plan and stay calm when these situations arise, often very, very suddenly out of the blue. So a lovely thing that's going to help us, I want to point out, is that Mercury is conjunct the galactic center. Now, the galactic center is at 27 of Sagittarius. Mercury is at 24. That's a close conjunction. But also, Mercury is conjunct the dwarf planet Varda. Now, you will, at 26 of Sagittarius, you'll have heard me talk about Varda before. She's one of the dwarf planets in the creation myth that Tolkien wrote about in his book Silmarillion. Varda and her husband Manwë invented the cosmos, invented our universe. And Varda was responsible for taking the sun and the moon and the stars and sending them on their course in the heavens. So very much linked to creating our original world. And therefore, she is very highlighted at this time, being conjunct the galactic center, where so much raw plasma, raw crystalline plasma flows from, with which we create our world, to do it a second time, to create new Earth. And she is one of the very strong symbols we have for the creation of new Earth. New Earth, new consciousness. So this is a super, super aspect to have here. Mercury, Varda, galactic center conjunction. And that's certainly Varda and galactic center are going to stay together really all through next year. And also, doesn't look like it, but they are actually in square to Neptune as well. It's a squiffy house system because it's using Placidus. Nevertheless, take it from me, it's a square. So Mercury is square to galactic center and Varda. That's a long-term square as well through next year. And that aspect is really saying that we are birthing the new Earth in a spiritual context, in a context, Neptune, of unconditional love, healing, the bigger picture, connection to oneness, connection to source. Really beautiful, upshifting to this higher perspective. Neptune is also therefore square to Mercury. Now, that is beautiful for any creative project, using your imagination. You know, the mind can soar. The mind can soar with this whole bundling of aspects here connected to Mercury. So think of the mind as soaring to a higher level. You know, you're the eagle looking over it all and saying, can we do it differently? The square can be sometimes a bit of a challenge because it can bring in a little bit of what's true, what's not. In our search for truth at this time, Sagittarius, and getting the facts and the information, Gemini, that we need. Also, standing strong in our truth, I think, is coming through very strongly here with Mars, as I say, conjunct the Sun. And also this aspect is, although it's square to Saturn, there's a real strong sense of we are going to stand strong. We are going to stand strong as individuals. We have Eris here, as I spoke about earlier, conjunct the North Node. And that is a really very strong aspect of sovereignty. This is like the cycle breaker of the pattern, if you like, Eris. The cycle breaker in the pattern, the trailblazer. You know, the one who's going to make sure that we do it differently in birthing this new Earth. Another aspect I'd like to point out is that the Sun is in a quindicile, this black line, little Q, to Uranus. 165 degree aspect, just use a 2 degree wall, by the way. And the quindicile is an aspect of obsession or upheaval or upset. And, you know, for sure, we're going to see that in the 3D world. But remember that Uranus is the planet of awakening. Through all of this, we're breaking through to truth, Sagittarius, and Uranus, the planet of truth. We're breaking through to truth. We're breaking through to awakening to a higher level of being, a higher state of being. We've also got a quindicile here between Venus in Libra and Jupiter in Taurus. Venus, of course, rules Taurus. This can suggest some, you know, upsets or changes around relationships, Libra, or around the financial system, the economy. And, you know, remember, we're in this bigger context of the US Pluto return. That's a kind of whole bigger layer of paint on the canvas. And yes, it's specific to America, but whatever happens to the economy in America tends to ripple across the rest of the world. And I think there's some issues currently in the banking system. It remains to be seen whether they are going to be resolved or not. So there's a lot there. Mars is square to Saturn, and that is very strong in the second half of the month. That becomes exact, in fact, on the 24th of the month, but runs all the way through as the square to virtually is the end of the month. Now, Mars is go. You know, Mars is action, particularly when it's in mutable fire, Sagittarius. Go, 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 go. You know, I want to get action. I want to be free. I want to do my own thing. I want to be independent. But bam, it's running up in that square to Saturn. Saturn puts the brakes on. Saturn's the big hand of authority. Saturn is, sorry, there are no new rules and regulations about what you can do. So it's kind of accelerator brake. So it'll be interesting to see how all of this plays out in our world. Now, Gemini is very much the sign of choice. It's a dual sign of choice. And in our society, as we know, we've grown up to think in our world we have a winner and a loser. We have constant polarity of black, white, left, right. You know, Democrat, Republican, blue, red, whatever. That's been our programming. And I've talked about how Lynn McTaggart, with a lot of her work, is really turning that paradigm on its head in her Power of Eight groups, where it's found that if people focus on one particular person, say, to give them healing, everybody else in the group has a benefit too. It's like a boomerang effect. So it isn't that you're, it is that you're giving all of your energy to that person who needs healing, but it bounces back to you in a very big way too. So this is the kind of collaboration, sharing, coming together we're going to see in New Earth. You know, and it's going to change our thinking. You know, people are moving away from investing for profit to investing for people. There's a whole new mindset, a whole new paradigm that's emerging. So with Gemini offering us choices, instead of I'm right, you're wrong, or you know, whatever polarity you come down on, or skin color, religion, whatever, try and see this as, am I going to live in contraction or am I going to live in expansion? Try and see it as a choice of energetic states. That's probably going to be the most helpful choice you can make from this point on, because Sagittarius is very much ruled by Jupiter, very much the sign of, you know, expansion. Really want to kind of blow it up and feel huge, feel. And when you step into love, you automatically feel expanded. You know, my mantra of I'm welcoming in an expanded consciousness of love. If you just say that to yourself, you instantly feel more expanded than you were a moment ago. Whereas if you're in fear, you know, you've seen something awful on the nightly news, you know, horrors, and you feel that contraction. And it's those energy states that determine individual and collective timelines moving forward. So if we can get into that state of expansion, that opens up our consciousness individually, but we are contributing to that collective consciousness, and it opens up the future possibilities and potentials in a much bigger way than if we are feeling contracted. So make your choice being aware of, am I in a state of contraction or expansion? Check in all through your day, all through your day. And Gemini is also to do with our thinking, you know, our mind. And it's very interesting because, of course, everything begins with a thought. And I'm going to stop sharing here, I think, because those are the main things I really wanted to bring up from the full moon chart. But everything begins with a thought, and that's an electrical impulse. And that thought then produces an emotion, a magnetic wave. What it was, the thought, positive or negative, etc. And once it's produced an emotion of love or fear, let's say, this really was written about very extensively in it's a groundbreaking book, which I really recommend people read. It's quite an old book now, actually, but it was absolutely groundbreaking at the time. And I mentioned it years ago in another video, called Molecules of Emotion by a lady called Candace Pert. But she discovered that every emotion produces a very specific neuropeptide, you know, like jealousy or hate or envy or greed or love or faith, but very specific. And what happens is that we become addicted to that particular neuropeptide unconsciously in our mind. You know, if we've always had a sense, let's say, of betrayal in our lives, you know, friends, family have betrayed us, it just keeps happening again and again, we will have become addicted to that feeling of betrayal, which has produced this specific neuropeptide linked to betrayal in our energy system. And that cascades throughout our body chemistry. We're completely unconscious of this, but it's like being addicted to a drug, like being addicted to heroin. We're not even aware of it. So our body keeps rerunning that same feeling because that's the neuropeptide we're addicted to and we don't even know it. I hope I'm making sense here. If you read the book, it's fabulous because it makes it so incredibly clear. It's a very exciting book to read, actually, because it's so groundbreaking. And so we have to become aware of our thinking. That's step one. Become aware of what you're thinking, linked to Gemini. Then become aware of the emotions that that kind of thinking is producing, whether there's a repeating pattern. And then start to be aware of how we are creating our world. I mentioned earlier in the video that consciousness is one of our strongest weapons. And, you know, I know this seems really hard to get our head around because we've lived in such a 3D tangible world, a world of certainties and, well, depending on where you live, of certainties, long-term home or long-term job, or things are incredibly uncertain in war zones, clearly. But generally, we've lived in density, tangibility and long-term situations that feel very tangible. That is shifting. I mean, astrologically, it's shifting over the next 3-4 years up until 2026. The outer planets, as I've mentioned before, moving from heavy, slow water and earth signs into air and fire, which are fast, which are really fast. But Pluto moving into Aquarius next year, the beginning of a 21-year transit through Aquarius. That's an air sign, not a water sign, remember. Gemini begins, Uranus begins to move into Gemini in 2025. More and more linked to air. And therefore, this is invisible. But so is consciousness. And what we have to realize, I think, in our mastery moving forward, because we've got to get a grip of how we create our reality, which has been my dogged interest in my entire adult life, is consciousness is primary. And what I mean by that is consciousness is foundational. Consciousness is fundamental. And in my conversations with Professor Robert Temple about creating reality, you know, he is very clear that these incredible, you know, massive waves of crystalline plasma that are flowing from the galaxy in the galactic center are just full of divine intelligence. You know, it's so inspiring. They're not empty. They're not neutral. They are jam-packed full of divine intelligence. And we link to that divine intelligence in the invisibility, in the consciousness, in the plasma, via our own individual frequency. And we're in a feedback loop. We're in this constant 24/7 feedback loop. So when we are in love, in an expanded state, and we are, you know, we can't stop interacting with the consciousness, with the divine intelligence. We can't stop. It, you know, we're a mesh and it's like a goldfish in a bowl. You know, it's all around us, but the goldfish doesn't realize. Then we can create beautiful symmetrical geometry, energetic architecture of light to produce a better reality. When we're in angst, fear, hate, polarity, we're going to get some very distorted geometry. So consciousness, the invisible, is primary. It's foundational. It's fundamental. I hope I'm making sense here. So the invisible is where it all begins. The invisible of your own frequency and the invisibility of the divine consciousness of the plasma, which surrounds us in every moment. Hope you're with me so far. So one of the most powerful weapons we have is our consciousness. But it's got to be anchored in our heart. Keep on coming back to the mantra, I'm welcoming in an expanded consciousness of love. Anchor it in the heart, because then we'll be coming from the right place, not just head, but heart. And I'm sure I'm going to be talking an awful lot more about this as we move forwards, particularly next year. But I'd just like to end with a quote, really, from Antoine de Saint-Exupéry. I think that's how his name is pronounced. And he said, it is only with the heart that one can see rightly. What is essential is invisible to the eye. And that seems to be an appropriate quote to end on for this full moon in Gemini. It is going to be volatile. It is going to be intense. It does feel like a crescendo, but understand that it is a necessary breaking down of the old order to get to a much higher state of being in a much better world. And please see yourself as a warrior of love in that, a trailblazer and a warrior of love. And often warriors of love go about their business very quietly. They go about it with quiet smiles in the background, but they are steely, steely warriors of sovereignty and love, because they're going to create something way better than this. Hope that's helped. Thanks so much for being here with me. Lots of love. Bye for now.
That's a quiet space from Jonathan Goldman. Now, Lee Harris, as you may remember, channels his guides, which he calls Z's because he lives in America, but he's actually English, so he should be Z. This is a track from him, where his guides come through, and they're talking about the rising tide of consciousness.
Lovers of the world, you are free. You are free to go about your day with love as your purpose and your focus. We understand that many of you may not see it that way, for the dark clouds in the world can feel all-consuming, all-enveloping. They can seem anti-love. And of course, there is that faction, there is that contingent. But love is the highest octave on the planet. Love is deeply connected to peace, harmony, and oneness. So for many of you, the experience of feeling love inside yourself, inside your humanity, inside your soul, is the highest point that many will reach. So it can feel like a peak for you. However, the more you practice the octave of love, the more the finer tuned layers of peace, joy, wisdom start to reveal themselves to you. It is no different to your eyes adjusting to the light. When you first walk into a darkened space, you see immediately the most obvious shapes, things to navigate in the space. But as your eyes begin to open and adjust, your senses increase around this seemingly dark space that you were in moments ago. It is the same with layers of love. And many of you are lovers of the world in the way you wish to care for the world, repair the world. When you see ills taking place in the world, it can strip some of you to your core. It can knock you off your feet. It can take your breath away. This is a phase of the process. We are not in any way saying that any of you should wish to become immune to compassion. That is not what we are saying. But many of you are rising into becoming warriors of love on the planet, for the planet, and with the planetary energies of love. So some of you may be listening to us thinking, well, that's all well and good, but I'm actually here because I'm struggling in my marriage, or I feel like I don't have enough freedom in my life. It's all a lot more down to earth for me right now. And we say, no, it is not. Ha. Your point of focus might be that it's all a lot more down to earth for you, but you cannot be separate from universal energy on the earth. You have just been trained to think you are separate from it. But in fact, universal forces are driving your everyday actions right now. So even for those of you who think that where your focus is right now is perhaps needing to be, if you are feeling judgmental, you could say more mundane than your spiritual life. You could say more limited than your spiritual life. And we will say, wherever your focus is, that is where your spirit is going. So wherever you allow yourself to focus in your life, that is where your spirit and your soul are allowed to show up. So if you are focusing on news that is distressing you from a friend or a loved one, or perhaps from out there in the world, and you keep replaying and re-engaging with this distressing news over and over again, your soul and your spirit are going to start to respond to your focus on stress and distress. Sometimes your soul and your spirit will try and get your attention away from focusing on this. If it is not good for you, meaning you are not using that focus to simply release some stress and distress, but instead you are essentially boxing yourself into a certain way of thinking and feeling, which is easily done for humans, by the way. You mustn't be hard on yourself about that. It's woven into your society. You have all been told that the room that you are in is 50 times smaller than it truly is. None of you are living in the small, focused lives you actually think you are. You are vast. And you have layers of reality that you are interacting with elsewhere that feed into your life on Earth. And yet, your life on Earth is very important. Your human life, your human focus, it is not to be denied or pulled away from. But why we bring this up to you is we want you to understand the power of your focus on a daily basis. Because you are entering a time in your history where there is a competition for your focus on Earth. There is the light, there is consciousness, there is love. There are those humans and other beings who are radiating those energies onto the planet. And then there are those who would like you to keep thinking that not only is the room 50 times smaller than it truly is, they'd like you to get into a room that's 100 times smaller. And that won't and can't come to pass, but there will be almighty attempts at it, particularly in the next year or two. And that's okay. You need not worry about what we just said. Notice if that starts worrying you. If it's worrying you, there is an imprint in your body from times past. There is an imprint in your body of what happens when others may try to suppress or hijack you or stop you. That is why we had to address this at the beginning of the message that Lee read out to you. It is not our joy to speak to you about wounds, because even that word has a lower vibration for many of you and a lower connotation. But if we don't address it and start there, you will never let your light body in, because you will be so convinced as these wounds rise that you will think you aren't bringing your light body on board. You will think you are regressing. You will think you are playing out old behaviors. And we say, no, no, no. As you let more of your light body in, you have to burn off the old habits and identities that were born of a previous time where you believed that you and your life are far smaller than you really are. So if the idea of you being a vast being, a vast soul, is pleasing to you, if you right now are feeling a little bit of that vastness coming back, why? Because we are seeing you. When the soul is seen, it feels good. Now, for some, it can feel triggering or suspicious or something you want to defend against, because you have done a wonderful job of keeping your soul organized inside your body and inside your human patterns and your human identity so that you don't bother too many other humans. Because guess what? At a young age, you learned that there is a cost to bothering other humans. You can be punished. You can be ostracized. You can be rejected. So the modification began, and you stuffed down parts of yourself. Well, for some of you, you are entering a period in your life like never before. For some of you, you are taking the lid off who you are in a way that even you don't recognize. Even if you have been what you might call a spiritual seeker or student for a decade or more, even you are shocked at what you're experiencing right now. And guess what? That is the rising tide of consciousness. Even you are surprised at how certain things are dropping off you. Layers, sheets of identity are leaving you. You might be surprised at how willing you are for this to happen, because it's happening at a speed and with a precision that you never saw coming in such an easy way. But equally, there are parts of you that will rise and want to fight what is happening. And they are the parts that you sometimes think, ah, this is me regressing. And we say, no, no, no. This is you evolving and trying to figure out which bags of sand to throw out of the hot air balloon. Because that hot air balloon is not going to keep rising if you keep the same weight in the basket. And there is a time when rising is appropriate, and there is a time when it isn't. So we also want to clean up some belief that some of you might have that higher is better, rising is best. No, everything in balance and everything in its right time. But there is a rising tide of consciousness, particularly at this end of 2023, which if you are watching this video in the future and you are resonating with what we are saying, you will be in a part of that wave in the future. But right now on Earth, many of you are beginning to leap inside yourselves. Some of you are managing to do this because you have spent the last year or two or three going through some, we will say, challenging times. Slowly and deliberately excavating parts of yourself, excavating old behaviors, old patterns. But here you are, throwing sandbags out of the hot air balloon with joy and marveling at not just the view, but the feeling of being in this light body above the ground. So there is a time to rise, and then there is a time to what you might call integrate or ground. We would say a time for stillness. And many of you have been surfing rises lately. You have been going through big leaps in yourself, in your circumstances. Some of you are just about ready to invite those in, to allow in new levels of light, new levels of height. Because you have spent a long time leveling the foundation of the old house, leveling what was there. And now you can build. But as a general rule, we would like to introduce a principle to all of you for the next 2 to 3 years. Look for balance. If you have felt low or suppressed or down or challenged for a long time, put all of your focus toward bringing in light, peace, joy, uplift. If you have been what you might term high for a while, or particularly elevated for a while, put your focus on the ground and earthing this frequency. Both states can be addictive. You can become addicted to lower vibrations, and you can become addicted to higher vibrations. But the trick is allowing both to move through your body, which in turn sets in motion inside your body a healing spiral, where you can go up and down and round the spiral inside yourself. For some of you, as you have gone through these leaps, rises lately, it has been a little challenging with the people in your life. Hard to, for some of you, get so grounded on the level that they are at that you can communicate with them. Equally, some of you who've been on a lower level lately and not feeling so good, it's been hard for you to connect with your higher people, those who seem to be flowing. And we would say, challenge that belief too. If balance needs to be a focus of yours in the coming 2 to 3 years, a focus we have given all of you, because the energies will be pumping fast. So the way that you will stay most stable is to pay attention to the pump and notice where you are in that scale and counterbalance where possible. By all means, have a wonderful week where you're flying high, but don't try and push it into week 2 and 3 without realizing that the balloon is going to have to come down and hit the ground at some point. And then you can go back up again. The same is true of your perception of your friends or loved ones who can or can't be there for you when you are in the opposite state. Are you one who isolates when you are feeling down or stuck? Time to break that habit. Who is the most trusted friend or person in your life that you could try to emphasize the great discomfort of reaching out when normally you wouldn't? You can even be deeply honest and say, I'm calling you because I'm having a bit of a rough time, and normally my approach to this would be to stay silent until I feel better again. So thank you for listening. I'm challenging my comfort zone, and I just had an instinct you would be someone I could call and express this to. Even doing that will be 50% of the battle. 50% of the healing will be done there. Equally, if you are flying high, don't be scared to reach out to those people who you think might slow your flow. They won't. This is a time for humanity to share.
See, we have to do our piece. Now, this is Floyd Red Crow Westerman. It's a few years old, but it's relevant still now, as we approach the anniversary of the battles at Rangiriri.
Time evolves and comes to a place where it renews again. There is first a purification time, then there is renewal time. We are getting very close to this time now. We were told that we would see America come and go. And in a sense, America is dying from within, because they forgot the instructions on how to live on Earth. Everything is coming to a time where prophecy and man's inability to live on Earth in a spiritual way will come to a crossroad of great problems. It's the Hopi belief, it's our belief, that if you're not spiritually connected to the Earth and understand the spiritual reality of how to live on Earth, it's likely you will not make it. When Columbus came, that began what we term as the First World War. That was the true First World War when Columbus arrived. Because along with him came everybody from Europe. By the end of the Second World War, we were, in America, we were only 800,000 from 60 million to 800,000. So we were almost exterminated here in America. Everything is spiritual. Everything has a spirit. Everything was brought to you by the Creator, the one Creator. Some people call him God, some people call him Buddha, some people call him Allah, some people call him other names. We call him Tonkashila, Grandfather. We're here on Earth only a few winters. Then we go to the spirit world. The spirit world is more real than most of us believe. The spirit world is everything. Over 95% of our body is water. And in order to stay healthy, you've got to drink good water. When the European first came here, Columbus, we could drink out of any river. If the Europeans had lived the Indian way when they came, we'd still be drinking out of water, because the water is sacred. The air is sacred. Our DNA is made of the same DNA as the tree. The tree breathes what we exhale. When the tree exhales, we need what the tree exhales. So we have a common destiny with the tree. We are all from the earth. And when the earth, the water, the atmosphere is corrupted, then it will create its own reaction. Mother is reacting. In the Hopi prophecy, they say the storms and floods will become greater. To me, it's not a negative thing to know that there will be great changes. It's not negative. It's evolution. When you look at it as evolution, it's time. Nothing stays the same. You should learn how to plant something. That's the first connection. You should treat all things as spirit. Realize that we are one family.
So what's on Infinity Spiritual Centre at 550 Anglesey Street? Lots happening over the next few days. Tonight we have Living Light, where you can come and join together with like-minded people, learn some stuff, teach people some stuff, all sorts. And then on Saturday is our monthly Spirit Fest. So we'll have 8, 9, 10 different healers and readers here, and you can come along, book half our appointment, get a taster of what you might need. And then on Sunday we have Janet Louise, who's doing a course called The Introduction to Clairvoyance, Pendulum and Spirit Guides, so that you can come and learn all sorts of stuff. If you want to be a clairvoyant, or you want to learn how to use a pendulum or connect with your spirit guides, so Janet Louise is doing that on Sunday. So you can go on the website, book up an appointment. And then on Monday evening, Elisa Musselman is doing a free contact care demonstration. So contact care is it's not a massage, it's not a chiropractor, it's different, but it's magical stuff. It just sets your body straight. So she's doing a free demonstration on Monday, 6 o'clock, Monday. I am Barry, it's been The Voice Within. Kakite, shalom, namaste, masalam. May your God go with you.
For more episodes, use the accessmedia.nz app for iOS and Android devices, or subscribe to this podcast via Spotify, iHeartRadio, or Apple Podcasts. This free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.